This morning, this is kind of a unique sermon. I don't think this has been preached on maybe for years. I don't know, before I was here. But I want to actually bring up what we're talking about today with the announcements, with now we're going to elect elders and whatnot. We're coming to that season, the October meetings, the annual meeting. And I want to speak to eldership today, okay? So I was really feeling convicted. It's like at some point in time, Lord, because, you know, we are an elder-led church, we need to speak to this because I don't know if everybody has the same understandings or if we think about it or if we ever consider it, but it's good to come back to the scriptures. And sometimes it's just a reminder, you know, reminder of things that we've read before and we've seen and we've looked at, but it's good for us to come into the scriptures again and say, you know, Lord, what does it look like when we start looking at leadership and the idea of elders as we see in the Bible, okay? So we're going to look there today and dig a little bit into this, okay? So let me start out in 1 Timothy 3, okay? We're going to look at several passages. Can't look at all of them, okay? I'm gonna leave that to you. If you want to take what we talk about today and go back and dig in more, you could just do a nice getting a Bible Gateway or some other, you know, and you just type in some words on elders or overseers or the words we'll be talking about today. You type that in and you'll get scriptures come up for you, a whole list of them. Can't do all that today, but we're going to probably be in three main scriptures today, and one of these is 1 Timothy chapter 3, okay? So the first one is just very simple to say. When Paul speaks to Timothy, his spiritual son, he says this. He says, "Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task." Okay. A noble task. So Scripture speaks to being an elder as a noble task. Okay. And that's something that is good to aspire to. It's a position of honor, as it should be. We should honor elders in the church. We should hold high regard leaders in general. To hold them in high regard. And, of course, we'll talk about our leaders should be honorable, you know, worthy of honor as well. They should reflect maturity and quality of character. And we're going to talk more about that. Eldership carries a wonderful and, at times, weighty responsibility. It's a good responsibility and, at times, can be weighty. It's not for everyone, and we're going to talk about that. Eldership is not for everybody. It's not for everybody. And so we're going to talk about who should really fill this important role of eldership. Okay, so I want to take some time to talk about that today. Now, this is important for several reasons. One is very simple, is we are an elder-led church. I don't know if you knew that. Some people may not be aware. Well, what does that really mean? Well, I will say this. Most every church has elders. Most every church has elders. If you go into a church, you could probably ask, well, who are your elders? And they'll if they've been around, they probably know or they can tell you. But not every church functions in the same manner as when it comes to elders. But most every church has elders. Okay. So we are an elder-led church. Now, what does that mean? You know, if somebody came in, could you explain that to somebody? You know, what does it mean that we're an elder-led church? Would you have that knowledge or understanding? So I think that's important that we look at that today. For instance, how are elders to function? How are elders to function? How do we function? Do we know also the biblical context? Do we know the biblical context from where it derives? Okay, when we're talking about eldership, what are we talking about? And so we do go to the scriptures. Now, another reason why I want to look at that today is, you know, we're in the season of electing a new elders. You know, we have a little bit of flexibility in that. But who? You know, who do we elect? Who do we elect? So as you think about it, you know, I'm asking you not to come up with your criteria. Because you may have a list of saying, well, it should be a good person. It should be a person who says nice things to people. It should be a person who, you know, whatever, you know, we have criteria sometimes of our own, but what I do ask is we have to come back to the Bible. You know, it's important that we have biblical understanding, okay? What kind of qualifications should an elder have? What are the responsibilities? And what is the significance of their role of service? You know, what kind of service are they to give to the church? And I will mention that. It's a service. It is serving in the body of Christ. And so we will be speaking to that. I'll be speaking to that today. So let's revisit the significance of elder leadership in the church. As we approach our October annual meeting, we should be prayerful. Okay, so I ask everybody to be prayerful because it's important. It's important who your leaders are. It's important as we elect leaders. So be prayerful, okay? If you just have already your mind made up and you're going to fill out the form and say, don't fill it out yet, okay? Put this on your bedside table and pray over it, okay? Pray. Would the Lord even give you a name? Would the Lord speak somebody to you? It's important. So everybody who is a member of our church can certainly nominate, and that's what we do at our church. You can nominate somebody, and of course, then the elders of the church will consider all those nominations, all right, and work through them. So we ask God for guidance. Very important that we do that. So let's look at Scripture. Let's just see why leadership in the church is so important. I think you can already know why. You already do probably know why very much, but we understand that good, healthy leadership will bless the church. Now, another word for the church, in fact, the Greek word for church is ekklesia, the people of God, the people that are called out by God, that are built up for Christ and his purposes. And good, healthy leadership really is going to bless the church and help cause growth for the church. But we also know that poor, unhealthy leadership can lead to a host of problems. And I don't even mention the host of problems, but if leadership is unhealthy or kind of unhealthy or somewhat unhealthy, it can be a root problem that can be systemic into the whole church, and it's going to be hard to bear good fruit. So this is one huge reason why leadership is so important, because leadership does affect everything in the church, okay? So we take it seriously. So let's take a look at Scripture. There are several words in Scripture that refer to elders, okay? And sometimes, I don't know if you find that confusing, but I want to mention all of them here, okay? Sometimes in Scripture, like the verse I read, it talks about overseers, okay? Overseers. And it also talks about shepherds, okay? So we see in the Bible also that the word is referred to as shepherds. Also, it could be elders, like could translate it as elders as well. We see the word elders. And we also see one time in Scripture is pastor. All right. Do you know that pastor's only mentioned in English translations, most English translations, one time? So pastor is not prominent as in the translation of the Bible. You don't really see that so much. So I'm going to first take pastor and kind of lay it aside, so I'll mention it and talk about it. But all these words are interchangeable, and they really describe each other. So if you see in Scripture, as we're going to see that they're used really interchangeably. Now, pastor is mentioned once in the English translation in Ephesians 4:11. In Ephesians 4:11, it talks about the five offices, right? You know, we're talking about apostle and prophet, but pastor is there, okay? It's the same word that's translated shepherd in other places in the Bible. But here, it seems to be the one place that it talks about pastor. So in essence, pastor is shepherd and shepherd is pastor, okay? We can just really say it's one and the same. In fact, more often than not, I mean, really every other time, that same word, poimen, is translated as shepherd, okay? So we'll just kind of lay the usage of pastor aside for now. Okay, now, we of course don't call our elders pastors. I mean, I guess we say we have one pastor, but really, all elders kind of do have a role of shepherding. So we could call all our elders pastors. That's not what we do, because what I'm going to say is pastor is more almost like a title. You know, it's especially in today's church, and you can have pastor this, pastor that, youth pastor, children's pastor, executive pastor, all kinds of. And a lot of times it's a title, right? But that's not necessarily what Scripture refers more to the functioning, which is shepherding. And I think shepherding almost is a better way of talking about it because it's the functioning, even of the position. But if we look at elders, one, you can say, as a pastor, really, I am an elder, okay? I am an elder in the church, but I have the title of pastor. But in essence, if you look, I have a unique leadership role among all the elders. And yet all elders have a functioning, even of shepherding. Yeah. Okay, I'm getting a little echo here. Sorry. Trying not to get that echo. Now, Peter addresses elders in 1 Peter 5. He addresses them throughout the many provinces that he administered and the churches had grown up in, and he speaks to them. So let's look at that. 1 Peter chapter 5. Okay, sorry. All right. And here we're going to see these different words being used here that refer to elders. It says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So in this one passage, we actually have three words that are commonly used for elders. Okay? We have elders. It speaks directly, and that's presbyteros in the Greek. Okay? And we'll talk a little bit about that. And there's also shepherd, poimen. And there's also overseer here too, which is episkopos, but we're seeing the verb form. When it speaks and says, watch over the flock, that's using that word episkopos, but it's episkopeo because it's the verb form of the noun. So it's still talking about overseeing. And so you really have three words here all in this one passage that refer to the same person, the same position, talking about elders. Okay, and they're very descriptive. So we look at elder, presbyteros, and it literally means elderly, with age, right? But in this context, that's speaking to leadership, okay? So you can say with age, with leadership, but it does give the context that while it's not simply one's age, right, it's having the connotation that elders must have, should have, seasoning and maturity, okay? There should be seasoning and maturity. So it's not just that one is old, but one is mature. One has seasoning in life, and it matters. It matters. Maturity in life matters, and maturity in spirituality matters, okay? And we see this as we look at the qualifications for elders, and we will. We'll get to some more looking at qualifications. Scripture says clearly that elders must not be new to the faith, okay? They must not be new converts. They should not be young in the faith, okay? Because when you're young in the faith, you're learning. You're learning how to walk with Christ, how to walk, hear the Lord, how to take steps of faith. Okay, but those who are elders should have gone down the road, so to speak, and have won victories in Christ. You know, being fathers in the faith or people, you know, it talks about that. You know, John talks about that. You know, those who've overcome, they've been victorious in the Lord. And he speaks about young men, and he speaks about fathers in the faith, and he speaks about, but he also speaks about those who are new to the faith. And so there's a distinguishment along the way, and it's dealing with maturity. So there should be that elders have maturity in the Lord. They should have wisdom, okay? Wisdom that's gained over years, right? They've learned in life. They've learned from life. They've learned much. And they've learned much walking with Jesus in life, okay? When you can apply what Jesus is teaching you and you can apply it to life, you're gaining. You're gaining. You're gaining wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, so we should see that quality, that someone has the fear of the Lord. And that's for anybody, for sure. So elders should have seasoning and maturity. Now, elders are also shepherds. This is important, that word poimen. Simply put, they are to be caretakers of God's flock, to be caretakers. Shepherds should be good examples to the sheep, that the sheep could follow and would want to follow the shepherd as the shepherd leads to new pastures, to quiet waters, to fresh places where the flock will eat and partake and get sustenance. Their lives must lead the sheep to Christ, not away from Christ. I think we all agree with that. Like, does the person have a life that speaks of Christ and that would draw you closer to Christ, not repel you away from him? It's also clear in the passage who the chief shepherd is. In verse 4, it says, when the chief shepherd appears. Well, we know that to be Jesus. Jesus is our chief shepherd. So really, if we say elders are shepherds, we really say they're under shepherds. They're under Christ. They're under his authority. And that's so, so important, because when we think of leaders in the church, we want people who follow Jesus, people who follow Christ. Because really, he's the head, right? He's the head of the church. And so when leaders shepherd, we want to shepherd people to Jesus. We want to shepherd that people know him, that their lives become centered on Jesus, not centered on me or not centered on you. We don't want it to be a man-centered religion. That's, the Bible speaks very clearly about that. We don't want that. And so we're not looking for that. All shepherds fall under Christ's leadership and example. And the best thing we can do as leaders in the body of Christ is lead people to Christ and be examples of Christ to them. Okay, to encourage their own faith and to encourage their own walk. So that's our desire. And then we want that for our leadership across the board. Now, elders are called to be shepherds. Elders are called to be overseers. That's that other word that's being used here. They must watch over God's flock, which shepherds do. Shepherds watch over the flock, but there's also another role in watching over the flock, and part of that is protection, right? That's what that staff is for that the shepherd has, is he may have to sometimes correct a sheep and get them back in line with the other sheep. Now, that's just a mental image of a shepherd. But you know, it's the shepherd who also has to fight the wolves and takes that same staff and has to hit or jab or defend against those who are trying to steal the sheep or to hurt the sheep and cause damage. So overseers watch over God's flock. So this is the heart. This is the heart to serve, serving in this way as Scripture calls for. And it says, you know, not for personal gain, but to benefit God's people. And one of the benefits to God's people is a protective kind of mode too. You know, you need to have like a mother hen kind of mindset or a protective father mode kind of mindset. You need to have that kind of ingrained in your nature. But then you bring that into the church. Okay? So, overseers. You know, we see clearly through Peter that an elder is to serve in this way. Okay? To watch over the people of God. Now, when we listen to Paul's exhortation, we've heard Peter's exhortation. We should listen to Paul's exhortation to the Ephesian elders as he addresses the Ephesian elders as he's passing through. and he wants to encourage them and give them commendation to keep doing the work they're called to do. He says this in the passage of Acts 20, verses 28. Paul says, keep watch. Keep watch. That's that word for overseer. Okay? Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his blood, with his own blood. I know that after I leave, as Paul's speaking, he says, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. So the charge is given to the elders in the church. And here, the Ephesian church, it says, protect the flock. And it says, watch over the flock. It also says, watch over yourself. Watch over yourself. That, you know, you don't fall into any kind of, you know, false ideas, false beliefs that might infect the church. So watch over yourselves. Watch over your own doctrine. And this is also, we see in other scriptures, that exhortation being given. But it says watch over the flock so that when, not if, when the enemy comes in and tries to plant bad seeds, the enemy tries to come in and give misleading mind teachings, doctrine, whatever it may be. It could just be gossip and rumors. Whatever it may be, elders have to be attentive. Leaders in the church have to be attentive, watching over the health of the church and seeing, are we going in a good way? Are people going in a good way? Or is there something trying to enter in? The enemy's trying to bring something in that would be not only distracting, but could be even divisive or hurtful in the body of Christ. Hurtful to maybe one person, or it could be hurtful to a whole lot of people. So that role that elders play is so important as overseeing in the church. Okay? Now, that's what we're talking about, keeping the church healthy. And one thing that overseers must do in this process of keeping the church healthy and watching over the church is being people of prayer, okay? That probably cannot be overstated, to say that everybody is called to pray. And of course, everybody can pray for the church. Everybody, I mean, we do ask you that, actually, pray for the church, okay? If I haven't asked you, please do. In your prayers, pray for the church. Pray for this local church, but pray for the church at large, that God is just doing amazing things through his body of Christ and strengthening his ecclesia. But it is for sure that elders are to pray and to pray for the church, to consistently keep the church lifted up before the Lord. And at the same time, to give ear to hear from God what God might be saying to the church. Okay? To listen. To listen what the Lord's leading might be. Bringing items, and then bringing items before other elders for their discernment. So if one elder is hearing something from the Lord, they should bring it to the other elders for their discernment and to bring it forth leadership, especially when it's going to be an important matter of the future of the church. And then in the plurality of eldership, there can be leadership. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Now, let's look a bit deeper at the qualifications given to us in Scripture. Okay, we can see the qualifications in two places. You really... They're almost the same. I'm just going to look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 3, okay? We're going to go back to 1 Timothy 3, but you'll also find it in Titus 1. You'll find it in Titus as well, but they're very similar, okay? Very, very similar. So I'm just going to look at 1 Timothy for our time here, okay? In now verse 2. Looking at the qualifications here, it says, now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-control, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. And he must do so in a manner of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. You can see there's a high calling to leaders. There's a high calling. It's not easy to be a leader. And of course, no one is asked to be perfect, because then the only elder we would have would be Jesus. So that's not possible, and that's not what Scripture calls us. But it does call us to be Christ-like. So when we look at qualities, okay, we look at this in Scripture, it says things like faithful, above reproach, temperate, okay, not given to rashness, self-controlled, gentle, not dependent on alcohol, not greedy, nor argumentative. You know, it's those who just want to be argumentative for argument's sake. We look at qualities of character, and it's very important to have character. Okay, this is one thing that comes out when we look here at the text. And all of this is keeping with Christ-like character. So if we really go back, we go back to the chief shepherd. Jesus is the chief shepherd. We look to him for qualities of what a good shepherd is. It says Jesus is the good shepherd. And so, really, it's a high calling to be like Jesus. We're all called to that, but even leaders more so, to set the example for everyone else. Again, it does not call for perfection. But what Paul does say is that overseers must have excellent character, as we see that in Scripture. Now, on the other hand, elders must also have some abilities, because there are some abilities outlined here as well. And so, yes, character is extremely important, but there's also need for ability. The first one that I see is the ability to show hospitality, okay? Being hospitable, okay? And when I see hospitable, is being welcoming. Welcoming with open arms people, welcoming them into the church, helping people feel acclimated in the church, helping people feel a part of the family, that you belong here. You are welcomed here. So this does speak of being welcoming or inviting of others. Now, anybody can have a grumpy day. So it's not talking about that. It's not talking about, you know, today I just don't feel so well or I'm feeling a little grumpy. But overall, elders should display a heart of welcoming others, not repelling them. It also says that elders must be a good manager of family. So there's managing skills that elders are to have, some good managing skills. And you know, if you have to manage a family, there's things that need to be done to well manage, whether it's financial, whether it's just the life of the family, whether it's relational connections, keeping things healthy. So it's just showing good management skills, okay? And this would, what Paul is saying is it relates then to leadership skills in the church, okay? It's not saying that a person's family should be perfect. I don't think you can control that, nor can I. I cannot control every decision my kids make. It's not possible. But I can lead well. I can show Christ. I can speak to them about Christ. I can not repel them from Christ, but I can invite them into their further relationship with Christ. So I want them to see in me someone who has a genuine faith. Not perfect, Dad's not perfect, but somebody who has a genuine faith, a genuine prayer life, and sometimes someone who admits when they fail and didn't measure up. So management is an important skill. And showing this is important because it says, you know, he's saying what you're doing in the family your personal family is also something that you'll bring into the church family. So there should be skills that are evident. And so that will be brought over into managing of the church. So there should be seen that there's a serious investment or quality investment has been made in creating healthy family life. And we see that Paul puts an emphasis on that. Now I say this because some people get worried about this, like, oh no, you know, I come from a rough family, or I come from a bad family, or I've just had to struggle with family. But that's not necessarily what it's saying, okay? You know, God redeems men and women who have struggled mightily in various family struggles, okay? God redeems people. But still, if that person in their growth, in their walk with God, maybe they've had to learn. Maybe they have to learn because they didn't learn it in their family, how to have a healthy family, but they've learned it in their walk with God. But it's been demonstrated. There is something that has been demonstrated that they, though they may have not come from a healthy family life, they are learning to demonstrate and walk in this quality of healthiness and managing family well. And really, until you can see that in a person's life, they really should not be considered for eldership, okay? That's just not a good place for them at this point in their life, okay? But it might be later on. Now, the third ability to mention here is teaching, okay? And we see that the able to teach, okay? We see that in Scripture. Paul talks about that as an ability, okay? Several Scriptures point to this need for elders to know Scriptures well, okay? Because how can you know what is an error? How can you know what's false doctrine? How can you know what are false teachings? They're obviously false unless we know Scripture well. So that's important, okay? Because part of what we do, we said, is watching over the teachings of the local church and making sure that what people are digesting, so to speak, the grass they're eating, is healthy, okay? Part of that also is making sure that false teachings don't seep in and recognizing when and if they do, all right? Now, shepherds are able to teach what is true to church doctrine and that which is healthy to the body of Christ. You know, ultimately, elders, you know, they watch over the flock. And they watch to see, you know, where people might be straying. Errors that might cause people to shipwreck their faith. And sometimes it's that gentle guiding, that gentle caring, that gentle leading to help people to not fall into errors that might find themselves on a cliff somewhere in a dangerous situation. So the ability to enunciate Scripture and healthy doctrine is important for leaders in caring for the church. But it should be noted today, in today's church, that teaching is not a pulpit ministry. If we look in the first century church, there was no pulpit, really. I mean, this didn't exist in first century church. Most churches were meeting in homes, right? And there was more of a house church environment. So when we talk about teaching, we need to recognize we're not talking about just who preaches from the pulpit, okay? That can be, right? That can be, and it certainly is, teaching ministry. But teaching can also be in other ways too. For instance, biblical counseling. If you're counseling people according to the Scriptures, okay, and you're guiding people and you're helping people, right, and you're teaching them to go to the Scriptures with their lives and how to order their lives according to God's way of living. I mean, that's teaching, okay? There's people who write. You know, a lot of teachers who work in seminaries, you know, they may not teach in a pulpit, but they're still teachers in the body of Christ and leaders in the body of Christ, but they write for the consumption of the body of Christ. And sometimes people have that ministry of teaching as in writing, okay? And others could be just leading small groups and different other ways of instruction, but you're that ability, though, to instruct and lead people in knowledge of Scripture and helping people in that. So not everybody is called to the pulpit, agreed, and not every elder is called to that. And in fact, Paul makes note that elders who do preach and teach, okay, should deserve higher honor. Okay, I'm not trying to to harm. I'm just saying what Paul says, okay? But all are held to a high standard. All, and why are all held to a high standard? Because they're leading others. You're leading others. And Paul's concern and Peter's concern and Christ's concern is that we lead others well. We lead them well. Okay? And if anything, you know, we can err, we can do this and that, but if anything, we want to lead people to Christ. Okay? And to Christ's teaching and to live life according to Christ. Okay? It also should be noted that deacons have very similar qualifications. They're asked to have very similar qualifications as elders, but one area they're not required is the area of teaching. Okay, that is not. So there was a distinguishment in the early church where the service of elders and deacons were different, okay? And elders were to give more attention to the Word of God and the teaching of God, the teaching of the Word, okay? So let's go back to this idea. So in the scripture, we see in Timothy, character and abilities are both brought out. Both are important, okay? But really, it says one without the other is incomplete. That's kind of the picture I'm looking at when I see the scripture. Probably what we should say is what's more important is character. Because you can have great leaders with poor character, and you're going to have a disaster. You're going to have people leading you powerfully in the wrong direction. Okay? Don't want that. So I would say if you could choose between two, you want someone of great character. Okay? That's foundational. That's like the foundation in which you want to build on. You want to have people who have Christ-like character. And if that is there, you know, abilities are not as crucial as key, right? Because what you want is you want to have godly character that people can see the example of Christ in the leaders that are leading. And great ability is wonderful, but it's really secondary. You know, sometimes the church makes this mistake. Sometimes the church, and it's any church, I've been in several churches over the years, and I've seen this, sometimes churches will choose people who are great leaders in their field. They're a great business person. They're a really good political leader. They had the ability to get elected to political office, or they're excellent in their field. They're highly educated. They're highly respected. They've achieved and they've risen to the top, and they're leaders. But just because they're doing that in the secular world does not mean that translates right over into the church. And I've seen the church make that mistake and put people who were spiritually immature, great leaders in their field, come into the church and just not bring healthiness to the body of Christ. So I would definitely say character above ability is more crucial. Yet when you see them come together is when the health of the church can prosper. Because the church does need leaders who can manage well, teach well, and welcome others and do those things well. When leadership combines both ability and character, the church is poised for healthy growth. So do we need to pray for our leaders? Oh, yes. Please pray for your leaders. Church leaders have a very important task of taking care of Christ's body to ensure the body is healthy, is on a right pathway, keeping out of heresy or falsehood that could cause division in the church, dealing with those wolves who are trying to hurt people or bring in things that do hurt people, working for the unity of the body, really working that the body is unified and working together without compromising God's word, without compromising God's word. So it's challenging to be a leader. Be blessed that you have them, that are those who are willing to serve. Those who are willing to serve. It's a blessing to have those people in your congregation. Now here at Messiah, we have a plurality of elders, okay? And so part of that means is, and Scripture speaks to this, right? Scripture speaks to this. When Paul speaks to Silas, he says, go amongst the cities where you're at and and elect elders in the cities. And it's plural, okay? It's plural. It's elders, plural. So wherever he's going from city to city to ensure that each church, local entity, had healthy leadership, okay? And it is plural. So that's one reason that we believe in a plurality of elders working together, okay? Now, it was apostolic of Paul and Titus to do this. So in this sense, we see the apostolic nature of electing elders, okay? Now, we do it a little differently, but it's still ensuring proper leadership and care over the local body. But with this idea of plurality, we also think that an elder should be a team player. You know, an elder should be a team player, right? I don't know whether you played team sports or not, but you know what it is to be on a team where you do your part, right? And you help each other, right? You're there for the success of the whole. And that's what it is, being there to work in union with all elders, to try to bring and work unity in decisions, if all possible. So at times, there could be, and there are with leadership at any church, there can be disagreements. But when sharp disagreements do arise, and I imagine inevitably they will, we as a leadership in the church should wait, because maybe the timing is not right. Or maybe the discernment is that the idea or whatever it is need to be put aside altogether, because it's just not right. It's not to be embraced by the whole. So elders, though, must be mature leaders who can handle when there's disagreements, right? They can handle tension in the room, because I don't know where it's always the case in leadership where there's always full agreement. Well, that's not going to be possible. So elders, back to character, has to have the maturity to have tension in the room where there's tension, but it can be worked out, because I believe tension is a part of being a leader or a shepherd. There will be disagreements, and elders are persons who can share their prayerful points of view with others and not take offense when people don't agree, right? Not take offense because you may be the only person who even holds that opinion. And yet, if the Lord gave it to you, you may not need to let it go. It may be something that continues to need to come forward. So, obviously, what's needed amongst a plurality of elders are healthy conversation and prayer to decide what are matters of importance and to work out disagreements when they occur. So all that is said to say leaders, really, elders, need to be those who love each other, even when they don't agree, and they don't vilify each other, right? It's not me against you. That doesn't work well amongst leadership. But we work together to bring unity. Now, praise God, I can say from personal experience that we do that as elders here at MCC. We do that. We work together. We try to come into unity. We try to have agreement. And where we don't have agreement, sometimes that means we need to wait. Sometimes it means we need to table something altogether. But it doesn't mean that the idea is lost, but sometimes it's just not the right timing until we come into a place where we all feel that it is right and it is good and we should move forward at this time. But what we try to do is be cohesive and bring forth the kind of conversation that can help everybody be on the same page. That's what we want. That's what we desire, and that's what we're working for. But there can be, and there will be, times when we're not going to agree. All the more, we need your prayers. I am happy to say that, you know, we are going to probably be adding one elder in this time, in October. We changed the bylaws a little bit to give us flexibility with that, because we have this three-year process for elders to have a three-year term. But when you consider somebody who meets well. Like you read these responsibilities, you read these character traits, and we say, okay, Lord, who might you be putting your hand on for this time now? Now, it may be later that it's somebody else, a year from now or 2 years from now. But I will say we, as a church, commit leadership in general to prayer. Commit it to prayer. because the church will be healthier and stronger as the leadership is healthier and stronger. It will be a natural benefit to the whole church. So please do keep that in prayer. Keep these scriptures. Come back to them to even study and to look at, and you may go further in your own study, as I have looked further in my own study. If you have questions, well, please come, and you might ask me, or you might ask another elder as well. So there's no perfect person. We're not looking for that, but we're looking for the willing servant that has the heart of God to step in this season and say, Lord, I will do that. If that's you, and you know you have that willingness in your heart, it's okay. You might let leadership know that you do have that willingness in your heart to step forth and be a servant in the house of God in this manner and in this way. All right, well, praise God. Please do, on your way out, you might just pick this up and again, pray over it the next few weeks, because you have a few weeks to, we do desire it back in 2 weeks from now, if you can. And then we, as an eldership, will look at the nominations. We will pray. We will pray and seek God and be asking the Lord for the next, the season, as the Lord wants to develop Messiah Christian Church and the leadership of Messiah Christian Church going forward.